Rebirth of Planet Earth. Commentary for the March 27th, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Multitudes, multitudes in the Valley of Decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the Valley of Decision. Joel 3:14. It seems today that we are faced with atrocities on every hand. The military junta in Myanmar, daily murdering citizens who demand a return to democracy. Political assassinations in Russia and the imprisoning of political rivals. Genocide of Uyghurs in China. Sex trafficking of women and children across the globe. The dehumanization of people based on race. All of these and many other evils have people's hearts in fear, and voices cry out for justice that never seems to come. The Bible purports to offer answers, but even the religious leaders seem to be impervious to the idea of justice. Many seem to be only using the position for personal prestige, power, and wealth. Instead of advocating for the poor and downtrodden, they promote the wealthy abusers, claiming their wealth is a sign of God's favor. The people, feeling oppressed by taxation at every turn, are urged to not only empty their pockets, for the wealthy, through this abusive system of draining the poor to pay for public services while exempting the wealthy, but they are also pushed to add to that even more money in the form of tithes and offerings to enrich the religious leaders and those who appoint them. I have personally spoken with aged widows on small pensions, worried about whether to buy the medicines they need or to pay a faithful tithe so God will allow them salvation. God, who has all the wealth he would ever need, would not need to make such a demand on the helpless. The church, which should be helping such struggling souls, is instead taking what little they have with a promise of an ephemeral blessing to come. Those in charge of the temple have literally turned it into a den of thieves. And in so doing, they bless rather than confront those secular rulers who do the same thing. Little wonder then that Karl Marx felt that religion was simply a ruse to keep the masses placated with hopes of eternal reward while being robbed of all they had in this life. Does this mean there is no eternal reward? No. It only means the idea has been subverted to serve an immoral purpose by the very ones who are least entitled to such a reward. Even though the Bible speaks against usury, many store lines of credit now demand almost 30% interest for using the unsecured credit lines on their cards. Such a charge is ludicrous in an economy where savings accounts are paying only a penny or two on the dollar in interest. The stores justify the high interest by a high rate of loan defaults. However, a high rate of default would seem to naturally follow from such usury. Even the interest rate on student loans is way out of line considering the rate of savings returns and the underlying government guarantees the promised loan security for the lenders. But that is still not enough. Having bled the poor to abject poverty, the wealthy also turn on the middle class, convincing them that the extremely poor are the enemy coming after their hard-earned wages and savings. While the wealthy are destroying the pillars of middle-class society themselves. One of those pillars, defined benefit pension plans, used to provide financial security in retirement. Instead, they have been replaced by security-based investment accounts, projecting outlandish sums by retirement based on bull market growth. This is like when Jimmy Carter was president and inflation was in double digits. Even banks and savings and loans produced charts that showed how everyone would be a millionaire in 10 to 20 years, based on those high return rates to lure depositors. Of course, those rates did not hold, and the only thing that happened was an influx of money into those savings institutions that they were able to loan out at a much higher rate of interest than the depositors could hope to realize. The banks got richer, and the depositors were left wondering what happened. The same thing happened with the rating of defined benefit pension plans, as a surging stock market promised glittering mountains of gold by retirement. In reality, the stock market is a rambling roller coaster of boom and bust, with no guarantee of what will be there for retirement. Many looking forward to retirement found that precisely when they hoped to retire, the market dropped as the economy went into recession, condemning them to continue working more years until the market, hopefully, rose again. Another pillar of the middle class was the various labor unions. While like any other man-made organization, they were susceptible to corruption by the unscrupulous, they also negotiated for labor conditions that did not bleed every possible ounce of life and energy from the workers. They made a shortened work week possible with reasonable hours of work each day, including mealtimes and breaks. They negotiated for those defined benefit pension plans, so when the workers reached the limit of years of useful employment, they were not tossed aside as a useless husk, but could expect dignity and value in their remaining years. However, since the 1980s, between union busting efforts on the part of the federal government and so-called right-to-work laws passed in several states, the unions lost and have yet to regain the influence they once had. As a result, general poverty has increased, along with a growing population of the homeless, challenging the numbers during the Dust Bowl years of the early 20th century. The federal government, controlled by the wealthy, continues to push more and more into poverty and homelessness. The federal minimum wage has remained stagnant at $7.25 per hour for the last decade, while rent has doubled during the same period. This is a sure recipe for civil unrest, which has indeed grown during the same period. Like the time of Christ's earthly ministry, the people are lost without a shepherd to lead them, scrambling from wolves on every hand. They do not know where to turn, for even those who are supposed to be their spiritual guides are little more than fleece-enrobed carnivores themselves. Because of this and other sins, many have turned from the churches, and the sheep are like a flock scattered over the hills, while they have been left at the mercy of predators. God is aware of the prevailing injustice. The prophet Habakkuk thought he might be overlooking the evil and asked God about it and received the answer, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." Habakkuk 1 verse 5. God revealed to him that he would use the Babylonians to punish the greedy oppressors of the people. In a modern sense, it would be like telling Americans that God would use the Russians or the Chinese to punish them for the evil they were doing. With the evil the Russians and the Chinese are guilty of, we might ask, how can God justify that? Habakkuk responded the same way. But God assured him that he was not above using the evil to punish evil. In the end, Habakkuk realized that God is in charge, and he could only stand in silent trust in God's justice and compassion for those who strive to live for him, even when faced with a tidal wave of immorality, injustice, and violence. As Isaiah has assured us all quarter, God does not leave his people without hope. He promises a future without the evil injustice that our present holds. Those greedy souls who will not rest until they own every bauble of value will find no place in that future. They would not be happy there, for everything considered valuable here would be common there. They could not monopolize or control access to necessities like some have in this life. For example, while water was provided by God in creation so we could drink freely, some have managed to convince us that we must buy it in little plastic bottles that are eventually discarded to ruin the environment. Meanwhile, they become wealthier than ever as they sell those bottles to us. They have convinced us to give up perfectly serviceable automobiles, trading them to buy those with the latest accessories, even though doing so means we will never be out of debt. Fashions constantly change so that we never get the opportunity to wear out our clothes, and closets are full of perfectly wearable clothes that we are likely still paying the 30% interest on from buying them with a store charge card. They're simply out of style, so they sit in the darkness, hoping for the odd retro party so they can briefly see the light of day. But these things are like glittering cages. They do not bring happiness to most. Instead, they harness us to the money lenders in a lifelong slavery to fill their pockets, not ours, with silver, gold, and platinum. God offers us a choice, though. We do not need to live on that treadmill of economic slavery. We can choose to forego the golden carrots constantly dangled in front of our eyes by the ever-present media. We can instead look for the future offered by God and described by Isaiah. We can choose to reject those shepherds who feed off the flock and instead take Christ as our good shepherd. We can be sure of his care for us, for what would one who created everything gain from abusing the sheep? It is a simple but profound choice. We can remain in the valley of decision until others make our life choices for us. Or we can turn from the tinsel to the real and invite Jesus to shape our lives into something positive for both this life and the next. There is no safer harbor in the swirling sea of chaos that surrounds us. Only he can supply the still waters that will float us safely home. Thank you for listening to this commentary. You will find other commentaries like it, as well as the footnotes for this commentary and the other commentaries at our website at Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God bless you and your family.